Very good evening, one and all, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When God created this earth, it was a good earth. It was not meant to take lives. It was not meant to hurt mankind. But ever since the fall of man, we see wickedness abound, and the world continue to hurt mankind. And the hurt that God caused upon the lives of mankind is to remind man of the sin that man has brought into this world. And therefore, as we are born into this world to the day when we leave this world in death, it is a stormy life, a life that is filled with sorrow and pain. Just this past week, we have two of our church members whose mothers have been taken home to glory. The sorrow and the ache and the pain of losing loved ones, the sorrow and the challenges of experiencing diseases and to see our loved ones suffering because of the diseases that they have no cure. And so we can only sit there helplessly and watch their lives ebb away. You work hard, but there are many things in life that hard work and diligence cannot prevent. When there's an economy of the world that turns sour, when things begin to slow down, your company may fold. No matter how hard you work, you may be left without a job. And then you still have mouths to feed. And so this life that we have on this earth is very much like a storm. It doesn't end, and the wind just keep on blowing until you breathe your last breath. And that is why in this particular miracle, the Lord Jesus Christ deliberately allowed the disciples in the ship that Jesus Christ was in, together with other ships, the Bible says, other little ships. Jesus Christ deliberately asked them to get into the ship to pass over to the other side in the evening. Common sense will tell you to wait until the next morning. But the Lord Jesus Christ always has a higher purpose. There are no accidents in his life and in his advice. You think Jesus did not know about the storm that would soon appear while they were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, while they were on their way to the other side? Of course he knew. He was sleeping when the storm hit and the boat was filling up with water. And Jesus Christ was as calm as ever, regardless of what was going around him. He knew. When you and I look at our lives, you must understand these three important truths. Because your life and my life on this earth is going to be stormy. Whether you like it or not, it is something that you and I cannot prevent. As long as you are born to this world, you are born to a world that is filled with evil and wickedness, where Satan is called the god of this world. And therefore, he will try his best to get more and more to join him in the lake of fire. He wants more and more men, women, and children to die in sin so that they will spend eternity with him. This is the battle that you are facing. The moment you are born to this world, you have to be aware of this battle. And this is the storm that will cause and render all of us helpless. And so in the case of Christ and the disciples, Jesus Christ wanted us to understand these three important truths. Number one, look at verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over. The word pass over means to pierce through. All right, this would be in darkness other than the moonlight and the sunlight, as they begin their short journey across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is not a very big sea, okay? It's not huge, but it was big enough for a storm to occur if you are in the middle of this tiny little gem of a sea. And so Jesus deliberately said, let us pierce through over to the other side. And so the first thing you have to realize and understand Is your life guided by the Lord Jesus Christ, the way that Jesus Christ guided the lives of the disciples who were with him? Or is your life a life that is lived according to your own desires, where you think that you are the captain of your life, where you decide which path to take? The disciples understood that what they did by hopping into this ship, it was based upon the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may not be according to their good sense, because they are traveling across in the evening in darkness. But because the Lord says so, it would be fine, it would be good. And so the Lord himself said, let us pass over onto the other side. And in our context, the other side of life is life after death. That is for us the other side. The moment you are born, your journey as you pass over, pierce through the other side, it will be the end of your life. What awaits you at the end of the life on the other side? Do you know? In the case of the disciples, they knew, because the Lord Jesus Christ told them, you pass to pierce through onto the other side and you will be saved. But if you think that you are the captain of your own destiny, you are now marking your own journey. You are making all your own plans from your day you are in school. You have already started mapping out what your life ought to be. And so you want to excel in your studies, and probably you are succeeding pretty well. And you plan to get this scholarship or that scholarship in order to avail yourself the best university so that you can graduate with a degree that will open many doors. And that's what you have been doing, and that's what you've been plotting and planning, and perhaps some of you have already done pretty well and succeeded in that as well. And so many doors have been opened to you, and you have the best companies that many people would envy to choose from. And so many people are knocking on your doors. You don't even have to write any letter to look for a job, because jobs are looking for you. And so now you are planting and plotting your course of life, and you seem to be succeeding pretty well. And then you also found for yourself a very wonderful life partner. And then now you may have a wonderful family living in a beautiful, wonderful house, all paid for, and everything seems to be rosy and good. Is this what you are doing? Is this how you are piercing through your life before you arrive on the other side? And you think that this is success and this is life, because this is what is being boasted by the world, by the internet, by the newspaper, by men or women of power. A successful life is defined by the size of your bank account and the kind of homes, plural, that you live in. A home here in your own city, another home in some other big cities. You seem to have a home everywhere, and people will put you on a pedestal because you have charted out for yourself a life that is very enviable. And you and I know it is not without its own little storm. And the big storm will soon come. It could come in the form of a terminal illness. It could come in the form of a terrible, terrible financial meltdown. It could come in a form of a terrible, terrible natural disaster, an accident. You could be on a plane, your family could be on a plane, and the plane will just suddenly disappear from the face of the earth, never to be found again, and you will be left in limbo. And all that you have planned, your beautiful big house, is now filled with only yourself. Your family has just been snatched out of your life, and there was absolutely nothing you could do about it. And all your money and all your wealth and all your planning and plotting and charting of the course of life is now in complete disarray. And you are facing a roadblock in life where the storms of life buffers you, and you are tossed to and fro like a little cork in the middle of an ocean. Helpless. The storms of life are real. And you and I are extremely powerless against the forces of the storms of life. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was telling the disciples to do in the evening. Get into the ship and let us pierce through the darkness and head toward the other side. And they obeyed. And they did it. And that is the first thing you have to take note. What kind of journey are you traveling on? By whose command and instruction? Is it your own or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? You have to determine and answer that before we go to the next step. Because the next step will give you the additional assurance, because in the next verse, the Bible tells us, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Jesus did not send them off alone. He accompanied them. And that gave the disciples that assurance that they will never be without the Master. If the Master is with us in the same ship, whatever we have to face ahead, we should be fine. The Master is with us. We are not traveling alone. If you want to charter your course on your own, you will be alone. If you charter the course of your life with the Lord Jesus Christ's direction, you are here on earth to do the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what He wants us to do, He promised us, you will not do it alone. I will be with you all the days of your life. In other words, know your journey. Whose course are you traversing on? Your own or Christ? Know your companion. You chart your own course. You have no companion. You travel alone. And the forces and the storms of life will render you completely helpless. You might think that with your IQ, with your experience, with your power, with your connection, with your money, you can face any storms. You are wrong. Do not forget that the recent global depression, where many billionaires were turned into millionaires and many of them turned overnight into paupers. And how many of them committed suicide in the process? One moment they woke up as multi-billionaire and in less than a few weeks, all their billions just simply disappeared. You think the billionaires of our world today, they are really billionaires? Most of them are only billionaires on paper. Do you realize that? They own companies because of their stocks and shares. What kind of billionaire? You think they have $1 billion worth of gold bars in their basement somewhere? It's all on pen and paper. Suddenly, if their multi-billion-dollar company just simply fizzle into nothing, they will literally watch their billions disappear in smoke. Don't be deluded and deceived by the deception of the devil. What you think is the bedrock of your salvation in the world is sinking sand. You think that by removing poverty in the physical realm, you're going to be called a successful rich person just because you live a life of luxury for the moment? Don't be deluded. Because at the end, on the other side of life, is called death. And if you die in your sin, you're going to end up in hell. And if your companion on this life is not the Lord Jesus Christ, it is your cold, hard cash. Cold, hard cash will betray you. Because cold, hard cash cannot prevent death from taking your life. That is a very cold companion. If you have no money and you think that you want more money and you are now alone, traveling, thinking that by more money I will be delivered from poverty, you probably will, but you will not be able to deliver yourself from death. Know who your companion is. Jesus Christ wanted them to know, I will be with you. Wherever I want you to go on this earth, as long as you are heading in the way that I have set for you, I will be there with you. No matter what you face, I will be there. And so Jesus was in the ship, and there were also other with him, other little ships. Christ was not in their ship. Christ was in the ship where the disciples were. But the rest were tagging along. those who did not have leadership, who were right at the start of this journey, they went back. They went back to wherever they came from. But those with little ships, they tag along. They follow. And there arose a great storm of wind. But before verse 37, the Bible tells us in Luke 8 and Matthew 8, parallel passages, that Jesus was sleeping. Jesus slept, and then the storm struck. And this was not milder, tiny little storm. It was fierce. It was boisterous. There arose a great storm, the Bible said, a great whirlwind of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. They were about to sink, in other words. But when they looked at the master, he was still sound asleep. And the disciples, the Bible said in verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, and they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In Matthew 8, it also recorded, Lord, save us, we perish. And first they asked, therefore, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, save us, we perish. So they said both. But Mark only recorded one, Matthew recorded the other. Combine the two, you have a complete response of the people. Jesus Christ was in the midst. They saw the waves and the storm. And they saw Jesus only as a human being. And they were frightened. When you do not see who Jesus Christ really is, even though he may be in the midst, it will not help you too much. Just as it did not help them too much. You look at their reaction. Their reaction was one of fear. Their conclusion was, Master, don't you care? Don't you care for our lives? Jesus asked you to pierce through the darkness to the other side. He is with you. How can you conclude that he does not care? It may appear as if he does not care because he was sleeping. Just because he was sleeping does not mean that he was not in control of the waves and the wind. And their reaction and response was one of no faith, as verse 40 says. That's why they said to him, Lord, save us, we perish. We perish. You're finished, we're done for. And you're sleeping. It is important to know that Jesus Christ is with us as believers. But just because you know that Jesus Christ is with us is not enough if you do not know Jesus well. At this juncture of their lives, of the ministry, they did not know Jesus Christ well. That's why at the conclusion, you look at verse 41, they ask a very, very amazing rhetorical question. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What kind of person is he? What manner of man? Please do not just see Jesus Christ as just a great, amazing teacher. He is. The teaching that he gave us in the Bible is from God. It is so full of wisdom that the world cannot appreciate nor understand. It is tremendous. But if you see him only as a human being, a good teacher, then you do not know him well enough. When Jesus Christ promised them, I am your companion, I will be with you everywhere you go according to the journey that I have set for you. You must know who I am. Why do you think in the Great Commission, Jesus Christ said to the disciples and to all of us before he gave us the commission to go? Remember what he said? We remember Matthew 28, 19 and 20. But we very often fail to begin with Matthew 28, verse 18. Where Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That you must never forget. Jesus Christ has been given all power in heaven. That means there is no one in heaven that is more powerful than him. And neither is there anyone on earth. No wind, no storm, no typhoon, no whatever man wants to describe it. Tsunami or tornado or earthquake or anything. Definitely not human being. That is more powerful than the Lord Jesus Christ. As disciples of Jesus Christ, left behind on earth after salvation, doing the will of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his mouthpiece, to be his hands, and to be his legs, to be his feet, to go where he wants us to go, to do what he wants us to do, to speak what he wants us to speak. Jesus Christ promised us, I am with you and I have all the power in heaven and on earth. That means nothing can hurt you or harm you without my permission. And if I allow certain things or certain people to hurt your body, you must trust in me that it will be for your good, no matter how painful it might be, both physical and emotional and mental. You stay the course on the path and the journey that I have set for you and don't deviate. No matter what the storms of life may throw at you, with Jesus Christ as our companion, he will take care. And so he arose. And you watch what he did. He rebuked the wind. And then he said to the sea, peace, be still. The word peace literally means be quiet. That's what it means. It's basically telling the wind, stop blowing. You're disturbing me. You're disturbing my disciples because when you blow, you're disturbing the waters in the sea. So stop blowing. That's what it means by the word peace. It's not shalom, by the way. It means be still, keep quiet. Don't move anymore. Don't blow anymore. The word be still means close your mouth. It's like a person blowing. Close your mouth. That's what it means. Stop blowing, close your mouth. And the wind closed its mouth and stopped blowing. And then suddenly, from a very boisterous, boiling-like kind of an ocean, a sea, complete, total calm. You can even see the reflection of the moon shining on this lake or sea that is now like a mirror of glass. Just like that, instantaneously, the wind just simply closed its mouth and stopped blowing because Jesus said so. You see the power of the word? Because it comes from the Creator. For Jesus is the Creator of heaven and earth. And everything on this earth will do his bidding. That's how powerful the Lord Jesus Christ is. And that is why it is so needful for all of us to know that the life, the course that we are setting for our life is not our own. If you have not accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, you are basically charting your own course of life. And you know that what lies ahead is disaster. Because right now you are facing storms of life perhaps you cannot resolve. You cannot overcome. Because every time you're afraid of a terrible disease, you're not actually afraid of the disease. You're actually afraid of death that this disease might bring. Some of us are afraid of traveling. Some of us are afraid of flying. We call it phobia. Afraid of flying, why? Because if I fly and this plane plunges into the ground, I might die. So we are not actually afraid of flying. We are afraid of dying. All the phobias that we talk about is because we are afraid of dying. You chart your own course. You know how weak you are. You don't have any power that is in heaven, that is on earth, that is of any consequence. Or you may have a little bit of power. We all do. But you and I know that the power that we have cannot stop the storms of life. Definitely not death. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when you know him as your Lord and as your Savior, when you understand that Jesus Christ came from heaven's glory to die on the cross, to become man to die on the cross for your sins, that is the only way he can now take charge of your life when you surrender your life to him completely and say to him, I will no longer want to charge my own life. I am a sinner. I know I deserve death and hell because I have been messing up my own life from day one. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to be your Lord and your Savior, acknowledging that He died on the cross because of your sins. And God has accepted what He has done for you by raising Him from the dead so that you can have all your sins forgiven. And the Bible calls it justification. And that's how Jesus Christ can now become your companion to chart the course of your life, the remaining part of your life. And whatever the world, the storms of life may throw at you, He will be there to take control, to protect you, to guide you, to help you. You will never need to be alone ever again. Just as what He did, He just commanded, and suddenly the wind just simply stopped blowing at His word. Like a man closing his mouth, and the water was calm, and the wind ceased instantaneously. This is what Jesus Christ wanted us to understand. Whatever trials and difficulties you are facing, you stay the course. You do not allow fear, threats to cause you to turn to the right or to the left, to step outside of the narrow road that God has set for you. You trust Him. Because that is exactly what God wants us to do. First, know the way that you are walking. Know the companion that is with you as you walk and travel on this earth, in this life. And finally, know yourself. Know yourself. Do not be deceived and do not deceive yourself. And that's why Jesus said unto them, "Why are you so fearful?" As if they do not know that they are fearful. Of course they knew. But Jesus Christ had to say it out loud to them, to get each and every one of them who reacted and responded by their words to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Don't you care? We are about to perish. Save us." Jesus had to tell them, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" Now in Matthew 8, the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, "O ye of little faith." So that means combine the two together. Jesus Christ said to the disciples, "You are born again in Christ. You have already believed in me in Christ." Remember the memorization of the verse that talks about Jesus Christ performing His first miracle in Cana of Galilee? And then the verse says that from that point they believe in Him, the disciples believe in Him. They continue to believe. It's not that they did not have faith at all. When Jesus Christ said to them, "How is it that ye have no faith?" It simply means you have genuine faith, but your genuine faith is so little that in this particular account and trial of the storms, you did not exercise faith. And so they have no faith in this particular stormy circumstance, even though they all have genuine faith, except Judas, of course. And that is what you and I must resolve. The moment you become a believer, you have genuine faith because Jesus Christ will baptize you with the Holy Spirit because you have genuine faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. And at that point in your life, your faith is real, but it is little. And then you're going to face many, many storms of life because Satan now knows that you are the child of God and he will do his utmost to tempt you, to seduce you, to persecute you, forcing you to not exercise faith in times of trials so that you will have no faith. And that's why it is very important for you to now turn your little faith into a strong faith. And that comes with a diligent, faithful study of God's word, always with a heart of obedience. And that's how your faith is strengthened and deepened, because faith simply means believing in what God says. And the more you know what God says in the Bible, the more your faith will be strengthened in the process. The less you know about Christ, the less you know about the Word of God, the less you will be able to believe. The more you know, the more you will be able to believe, because the faith that God has given to you, you will want to believe. Because now you can understand to believe means to obey. And the more you know God's word, the more you obey, the stronger your faith will be, so that when the trials come, with now a stronger faith, you will be able to exercise the faith that is now stronger, so that you will not be charged by Christ with no faith. That's why at this juncture, they saw Jesus Christ only as a human being. They failed to see him as God. Remember, in the Gospels, whenever faith is used, it is with reference to Christ's deity. His humanity, they can see by sight, they can touch, they can feel. In our case, faith is in Christ's humanity as well as his deity. Because Christ is now in heaven. The physical Christ is no longer walking on earth. So when we believe that Christ walked on earth, 100% man, 100% God, 2,000 years ago, his humanity is by faith, his deity is also by faith. But while Jesus Christ was walking on earth at his first coming, before his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection, the disciples who already believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Son of Man, it's just that there are times when the humanity, the human part of Christ, dominated so much that the deity of Christ receded to the background in the minds and heart of the disciples. If they saw Jesus Christ lying there, sleeping there, and see him as God, they will not respond the way they did, being afraid. If they see him as God with us, they will not be afraid. But when they saw man with us, a great teacher with us, they thought that Jesus Christ was weaker than the storms. And that's why they responded the way they did. And that's why they did not exercise faith, because they did not see him as God. And so Jesus Christ had to teach them and reminded them, why are you so fearful? I am God. How is it that you have no faith? Don't you know that I am God, the God-man, the Messiah, sent from heaven, the Son of God becoming the Son of Man? And you are the generation who is seeing me. And you must now understand by what I have just done, telling the wind to stop blowing, instantaneously the wind obeys. Now who alone could do that other than God? No one else. And that's why they reacted and responded. They feared exceedingly and said one to the other, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He is God, that's what. He's the God-man. And now they feared exceedingly. You know why? Because we chided him. We chided the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is God. We chided God. Because we did not see him as God. And we dared to go up to him and told him that he did not care for us. How can we say that to God that he doesn't care for us? How can we say to him, don't you care? We are dying, we are perishing. And that's why they were afraid, because they realized that they were in the midst of God Almighty. No man can do what Jesus Christ did unless he is God, and he is God. And that's why you have to know yourself. Know who you are in Christ. Are you truly born again in Christ? Or are you just a Christian by name, but not in heart? I do not know all of you. Some of you. Some of you might come from other churches. I do not know what gospel you have believed in that caused you to accept Christ and call yourself a Christian. But you have to make sure that you are truly born again in Christ. Believing in the name Jesus Christ does not make you a Christian, because there are so many different versions of Jesus Christ being mouthed, being preached and proclaimed by churches and by pastors today. You have to make sure that the Jesus Christ you believe in is truly according to scriptures. If you believe in Jesus Christ who died for your sins so that you can be healthy and wealthy, that is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and then you believe that his salvation is not complete, you have to do some Christian works to complete it by coming to church, by taking the Lord's Supper, by going through water baptism, that is also not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Water baptism and the Lord's Supper and coming to church for worship, they are the fruits of salvation. They must not become the root of your salvation, because that would imply that what Jesus Christ did on the cross is incomplete, and now we have to complete it by doing good Christian works. And that is not the Jesus of the Bible. If you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, one of the clearest evidence, Jesus says, you are not a believer because you say you are one. Not everyone that say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. So how do we know that we are believers, truly born again in Christ? He is someone who will continue to study the Word of God, who desires to deepen and strengthen his faith. That is one of the clearest, best evidence of someone who is born again in Christ, who knows he is walking in the way that Christ has set for him, who knows that Jesus Christ is indeed his companion, and he will never need to walk alone because he has known Christ. And he continues to know him deeper and better because he has been studying the Word of God. And he knows in his own heart. You have to know yourself. I can't tell you whether you are born again or not because I don't know you. You and I, all of us, can pretend for 3-4 hours on Sunday and talk like a Christian, walk like a Christian, dress like a Christian. But God will see beyond our external into our soul. And if you are honest with yourself, you have to make sure of your salvation, because the storms of life are coming. The Bible tells us we are living in the last days. It's only a matter of time before the Antichrist will surface and reveal himself. And before God allows him to reveal himself, the Lord Jesus Christ says he will come down from heaven to rapture his church, to take them away, and will raise from the dead those who have died in Christ before he allows the Antichrist to reveal himself. And when he reveals himself, he will be the God and the King of the entire earth. He will rule the earth. And everything that you own, every bank account, every credit card that you have, will be rendered useless without the mark of the beast. He will exercise economic sanction upon everyone on earth. Unless you have the mark of the beast, you will not be allowed to buy or to sell. And he will do it. And so if you think you are the captain of your own destiny and mapping your own path of life, there is this person, the Antichrist. You cannot stop him. Your strength and your power is useless against him. He will control your bank account. He will control everything you think you own. And only Jesus Christ can deliver you from him. Let him be your Lord and your Savior, the captain of your life and your soul. And let him mark the course of your life. And he will do it only if you truly accept him as your Lord and as your Savior, who died on the cross for your sins, rose from the dead for your justification. And if you truly accept him, he will be your companion for life. And you will know in your heart of hearts that indeed, truly, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And whatever the storms of life may throw at you, Jesus Christ will simply look at the storm and say, "Peace. Be still. Don't be afraid. I am with you always. And I have been given all power in heaven and in earth." He calmed the storm. He will calm your life. Trust him. Whatever you're going through as a Christian, don't need to be afraid. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, all taken care of, the Lord says, pierce through the other side. And for us believers, what's on the other side? Heaven. Christ. Our Heavenly Father. Don't be afraid. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, Help us, O Lord, to realize that without our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are helpless on this earth. We cannot save ourselves, for we live in a world where Satan is God, and he controls this world, and he has seduced and deceived the world into thinking that materialism is life, materialism is success. Oh, what a lie he has spinned, and how many he has deceived. Open our eyes, O Lord, that we may see. For this world is a world of storms and difficulties and great evil and dangers. Only in Christ Jesus, who will always be our companion, will we be able to be kept safe from the storms of life. Help us therefore, O Lord, to make sure of our salvation. And we pray, Father, for someone in our midst who may be struggling, thinking that he is in control of his life. But far from it. Bring conviction to such a soul, O Lord, and turn him and humble him and cause him to truly accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior and hand his life over to the Lord Jesus Christ to direct him and to guide him and to live a life of holiness so that Jesus Christ will be his constant and eternal companion. And he will continue to study God's Word so that his faith and his trust in his new Savior, in his Master, will continue to be stronger and deeper with every passing month as he grows in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that whatever the storms of life that we may encounter, the Lord Jesus Christ will be there with us. And he will say to the storm, "Peace, be still." For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn